Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
This morning, because it's not a coincidence, but God is working out something for us. And today I'm glad you're here. Charles, Justin, you're welcome. I want us to pay attention because we are going somewhere. And tell somebody, this year is your chance. I mean, last year came and went, and things didn't change much. You know, last year has come and gone, and you are where you are. Your shoe hasn't changed much. Your dresses, your phone is the same. Not much has changed around you. But this particular year, our prophet has decreed something for us, greater and better. And that statement that he said, it rang a bell in my heart. And I said, yes, I believe it. That is why I'm personally expecting, I'm going to position myself to receive this greater and better. And Bishop always says, what is the joy, what is the pleasure when you are three, right, an exam, only one person passes and the other two don't pass? Your celebration is muted. You can't even laugh because your friends didn't pass, and you can't even celebrate as if you are teasing them. We all have to be sad. So how can you be greater and better when things are the same? It's got to change. It's got to change. And this year, that God is going to change us. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so very, very much for the beginning of a season of great change in our lives, for greater and better things. Let it come to pass that this is going to be our testimony, that this was the year, this was the turning point in our lives, that we saw that greatness, that improvement, the best, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Greater and better. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Hallelujah. You know, Paul writes a lot, and he says many things, some hard, some easy to understand, some very complicated. I mean, Paul was a character. Amen. It's like magic. Hallelujah. Paul was a character. Hallelujah. And Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. You know, tell somebody, you cannot use only the King James. It's not easy. It's not as simple to understand. And your secondary school, they didn't teach you King James English. Yeah, they will teach you English using tree. So I don't know how you crack the code of this particular English that is King James. So sometimes you have to migrate to ordinary English. I like the New Living Translation. And it says, dear friends, even though we are talking this way, what he has just said was very different. We really don't believe it applies to you. Tell somebody, some Christians will backslide. Tell them, some Christians will backslide. But not you. But not you. Some Christians will not achieve anything. But not you. That's why he says that we are saying some things, but I don't believe it applies to you. And then look at what he says. We are confident. Are you here this morning? Are you here this morning? We are confident that you are meant for better things. Put your hands together. Better things. And then he goes on to explain where those better things come from and why you deserve those better things. And he says, these better things, things that come with salvation. Tell your neighbor, if you are born again, you should do well. If you are born again. No, if you are born again. Okay, let's change the settings. If your father has money, you shouldn't be working wearing chaliwati. Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's right? If your father has money and you go to LA primary school, ask him why. What kind of father do you have? Your father has money and going to LA primary school. No. You must go to international primary school where there's a computer lab. I saw some school. They teach you computer on the blackboard. How are you going to pass? How are you going to pass? They teach you computer on the blackboard. We are confident that you are meant for better things. Things that come with salvation. Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to prepare ourselves to live like children of a great king. Amen. I want you to position yourself. A few years ago, my son came to me and he said, he wants a car. And do you know my answer? Why not? Why not? Because you are finished school, you are living in Accra. Accra, moving Accra by taxi is very, 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 very dangerous at night coming home. And I know you go to church, you come back at night. I said, it's not a good idea. I'll be worried about you coming at night. So I said, get the car. Amen. And do you know what I did? I bought him a car. Don't clap. You have missed the point. Ask your neighbor, can you buy your child a car? Ask your neighbor. You see, it is whose child he is. And that's why I'm saying, if you are a child of God, I didn't understand. I didn't hear you clapping this morning. If you are a child of God, I didn't buy my car just because he's in secondary school. No. He had to do certain things to merit it. Yeah. I want us to understand that many of us, you should be much better than you are now. You should be much better placed in life than you are now. Tell him, where you are an ambassador to your father. Tap your neighbor, tell him, where you are. If your father came to see the room you are perching in, hey, the room you are perching in. No, tap it, look. You see? No, you see, that's what Paul said. What I'm saying doesn't apply to you, but I'm talking to you. We cannot walk around and then say we worship God. We worship God. And then you are struggling over so many things. Hallelujah. And that is why Paul says that you are meant. We are confident. I am sure that you are meant for better things. Amen. Amen. Things that come with salvation. Hallelujah. What are those better things? And how do we get them? Let's go back to verse 1 of the chapter 6 to understand who we are. And Paul says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. it is tiresome sometimes. Are you listening? When you have Christians who don't understand what it means to stop fornication, it's a discussion. When you have Christians who come to church, they have offering in their pockets, and they come and go home like that. You didn't hear what I said. You heard me. It is. Tell somebody, it is strange. When you find some Christians, you have to carry them to church. But these same people can find their way to the exam room to write exam that they won't even pass. Yeah, they're going to fail. But they are able to carry themselves there. And so Paul says, let us stop. I mean, tell anybody, it's enough. Oh, you mind me? It's enough. This year, till I'm glad, we have to move forward. We can't preach the same things again and again. We can't go over those things again. Paul says, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Amen. That's why I'm preaching the mature Christian. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from your evil deeds. How many of us repent of our sins ourselves? Right, you don't understand what I'm saying? As for sinning, look, that by I'm not stop sinning. I know. You are sinning small, big. I don't know which one you fall into. But as for, look, okay, ask you, which one are you, small or big? Which category do you fall into? Small or big? Those who say small are lying. So adding one more to the small. Because we are all into it. All of us. Look, the sins, if you were to start a list, or you're not the one I'm talking to. Start a list of your sins. How many will go more than 10? Yeah. And he said that it is time to stop to discuss fundamental things like repenting from our evil deeds. Tell your neighbor it is time. When you sin, it is time. When you sin, you yourself will repent. You don't have to go to church when they are preaching about, where were you last night? You say, hey. Then you start thinking of last night. No, you yourself, when you get up on the bed, begin to repent. When you switch off the laptop, begin to repent. Say, I won't watch. Okay, I've watched. No problem. When you finish watching, what do? Repent. You mind me again? Another month has come. You didn't pay your tithe. Hey, I didn't pay again. Oh. What should you do? Repent. Repent there and then. But you just bluff your way to say, oh, no, be anything. God did. No. It is, I listen to me. It is time to stop needing somebody to help you repent. It is time. How many, do you remember when you were a baby? They used to hold your hand and wash your armpits. Hold the other hand, wash the armpit, turn you around, scrub your back. Or did it happen to you? It happened to me. They will lift your hand, they will lift one leg, and clean the other. You were being bathed. Ask your neighbor, isn't it time to stop being bathed? No, but you see, one of my friends, he was staying in a house. He said one day, on his roof, next to him was a church. He saw a grown woman being bathed. A grown woman. She came and the man bathed her. Yeah. It is time. Amen. Oh, amen. It is time to... No, listen to me. You see, too many of us Christians, we just live our lives anyhow. We cannot see our Christianity. Our Christianity is just a shadow of what it should be. If we put you against unbelievers, there'll be very little difference. You mind me again? Doesn't matter. I didn't come to preach to you. I came to speak my word and go home. Yeah. If we go and bring your classmates or your roommates or your friends from secondary school and we line you all up, nobody can separate you. If somebody walks in, there's one person clearly different. No. It will not be the case. You all look the same, behave the same, talk the same, dress the same. There's no clear difference. But it's time to change that behavior. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. It's time that you yourself will recognize that what I did was wrong. As you are walking back from wherever it is, nobody must, you don't have to argue. It must be that every time you stand in front of the mirror, look at that person and say, you, this person in the mirror, you're not the correct person. I know, we know ourselves. Don't say, oh, I'm okay. We are not okay. Amen. And that is why maybe if our prayers are not being answered, because it is our sins that hide God from us. Not that God's hand is short, he cannot save. He can save. He can do what he has to do. But sometimes we ourselves put him off. The stink of our sins around us makes us unattractive or unappealing. I tell somebody, it's time to stop being told to repent. You repent yourself. Amen. And then what? And placing our faith in God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Most of us walk by sight and not by faith. True or not true? Most of us, your reason why your offering is the way it is because you went to school and you can add and you can subtract and you can do calculations. That's why your offering is the way it is, not because of anything that God said in your heart. But you look at the balance. I have 3 weeks to go. Today is this way. I have to leave 20 city, minus 17 city, balance 3. Okay, Lord, get your 3. And that's what you give to him. Not by faith. Ask him, when was the last time you did something by faith that God said do and you did it? When was the last time this thing I'm doing, God said it? And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up in my mind. But God said it, and I'll do it. Recently, some time ago, I was talking to one of my friends, and we were talking about faith. And he's a man of very great faith. He's done great things. And I said, I have to walk more by faith. And he said, there's a very simple rule I can give you on how to walk by faith. I said, tell me. He said, where there's no fear, there is no faith. Where there is no fear, if what you are doing, there is no fear, there is no faith. Because faith always has an uncertainty. You are never sure how it will end. You are never sure where you are going. Faith, as you are giving your offering today, how will you get back to your room? How will you eat tomorrow? How will you pay your rest of your rent? Faith always has an element of, I'm not sure how this thing will end. But most of us, as we are here, we are 100% sure how it will end. We've done the calculations. We've got the money lined up. We know the rent. We have food for the whole month. We've got pamphlets. We have shared the money. It's a beautiful calculation. Yeah. That's why you are never going to see a radical change. That's why we have joined the normal human beings who are going nowhere. You have become one of them because you are just working by calculations. Ask him about how many is it? Because so many Christians are not honest. It is difficult to know what is really happening. But how many Christians tithe? How many of us in this room tithe? Do you know what a tithe is? Do you know what a tithe is? A tithe is 10% of what? Of your increase. Of your everything you receive in a month. A tithe is 10% of that, including pocket money, salary, back pay, gifts, everything. That's a tithe, 10%. People tithe flat rates, 23, 23, 23. People tithe over half their salary. People remove their debts, remove all their loans, remove everything. And the last money that is left, 7 cedis, they tithe 1 cedi on it. Hallelujah. It is time to, are you listening to me? It is time to place our faith in God. Amen. It is time to do something simply because I felt it or God said it. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Not that it doesn't add up. I can't calculate. It doesn't. The balance. In fact, you are a fool to do what you are doing. Because you don't. You need the money. You are going to give 100 cedis offering. Ask him, are you a fool? You're going to give 100 cedis offering. What is the balance you have on your mobile accounts? 300. And we have how many more weeks to go? And you're going to give 1/3 today. Ask him, are you wise? But that's where your faith is activated. That's where we know whether you are walking by faith or by sight. When God has said something, you will rise up and march to do what he has said you do. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Verse 2. You don't need further instruction about baptisms. And it is surprising that in our church today, not every member speaks in tongues. Shabakataya. Ask your neighbor, you, do you speak in tongues? You say, oh, I used to. I know how to do it. I can. But every prayer meeting we have, the pastor must take like a cornmeal. He must take the pestle and begin to wind the church before they will pray. He must begin to stay up, pray, lift your hand, lift your voice, open your mouth. Ask him by what kind of, tap him by asking, what kind of Christian are you? Tap him by what kind of Christian are you that you have to be wound up to pray? You will not mind me again. What kind of Christian are you that if you, no, listen. If you have the Holy Spirit in you and others are praying, deep calls unto deep, you also want to pray some. I cannot ever hear somebody praying thanks and then something will do me. As you are praying thanks, Shabaya, then me too, my language is coming automatically. I don't plan to, just comes by itself. How come you, when we are all praying thanks, you can stand there alone? Because we haven't moved forward. We haven't moved forward unto maturity. Hallelujah. And I was so happy just last week or last 2 weeks, we saw it out by the swimming pool. Tell somebody, hey, we are going to baptize you. I tell you, we are going to put you. How many have not gone underwater before? Baptized in water. Can I see your hand? Have not been. Okay. How many have been baptized in water? The hands are down now. The rest of you will put you in the water. I tell you. Hey, those who have been baptized by what immersion, raise your hand again. Please look around. The hands that are down. Put them in the water. It's just here. It's not far away at all. Wash them. Amen. It's just baptism is just something. No. Jesus said, those who are baptized, it is what Jesus told in Mark. You'll be baptized. It is part of your sign of your salvation. Amen. Not say, oh, we are, it is my church doctrine. No, it's not. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. We shall be baptized. Amen. The laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. The impartation, the giving and receiving of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. In many churches, you rarely have miracles or shakings or stirrings. Most services, you can predict how it will start, how it will go, how it will end. 5 minutes praise and worship, 2 minutes dancing. Dancing starts, we can predict how the service will go. Amen. That is not how it should be. That is not how it should be. In my church, let me tell you, from today, never be sure how the church will be. Oh, from today. I said from today, never come to church I know. Amen. Because from today you don't know. From today, let God lead us. Let God guide us. I came to church the other time. I was going to preach. I had my notes ready. I was coming to preach. When I got there, I was standing right there. And God said, no, don't preach. That's somebody else preach. Oh, but it's not the first time. It's not the first time. So I said, why not? Let him preach. And he preached. And he preached a very beautiful message. I was very blessed. Amen. So tell somebody, the laying on of hands, that is the real spirituality of a Christian. Nobody, I told the first service, nobody should be able to predict who you are or where you are going. Nobody can see you and say, I know your future. You can't know my future. There's no line that tells you my future. My future is in the hands of God. Where God will take me, you can't. I have not seen or ear heard. How can you know my future? I mean, ask about I have not seen nor ear, and then you can tell my end. So we are lost. It is time that we, are you listening to me? It is time that we no longer need to wonder about spiritual gifts. Because as we gather here, if one person has a psalm, it's a hymn, a song. If, no, you see, a time has come, and we are going to get there, that when we are praying, and somebody gets up and says, shabalabalabalaba, hey, there must be an interpretation. Now become quiet. If we are praying, and somebody gets up, or even we are preaching, and then somebody gets up and starts talking, unless you are mad. If you are not mad, you will talk. And when you are finished talking, there must be an interpretation. Otherwise, there's madness coming to somebody. Somebody, no. Because, what did Paul say? You can prophesy in the congregation, but there must be an interpretation. How come that particular scripture has faded in our time? God hasn't changed. We have changed. And we are going back. It is because there are too few mature Christians and 10,000 baby Christians. That's why we're all walking just happy to be in church. It's only a child who is happy to go to school. Keke. Today, what are you going to do? When they did A, B, C, D. Then I wrote A for apple, B for banana, C for carrot, D for dog. That's what... No. At your age, when you go to school, you are calculating your life after school. The school itself is a stepping stone to what you want to do. I didn't hear anything this morning. Amen. At your age, when you go to school, I didn't go to where I learned. I want to see what work I will get after school. How will my life change after school? That is why I'm here. I didn't go to learn pharmacy just to be a pharmacist. No. There's a job afterwards. I don't want to look for work. I want to have work easy. See, now I did pharmacy. Some jobs, some professions, you have to go and look for a job. Not my profession. Amen. You don't need further instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and judgment. Do you know something? Do you know what I think about sometimes? When we get to heaven, everybody will know everything. Do you know what it means? When you get to heaven, you know all my sins. You know. And look, when we get to heaven, there's no... Look, all those who are smiling, pretending, nice faces, we will know the true character you are. We'll know who you really are. All those who are pornography, quietly, small. We will know. Right now, we are all here quietly. Nobody knows anything. We are all smiling. We all pretend to be good Christians. Nobody knows. Look at having a nice smile. Look at her. What a beautiful smile. Wow, this girl. Of course, she's an angel. She must be an angel. George, what do you think? She must be an angel. An angel that God has given us for a season to be with us on the world. And then look at angels. But only God knows what is real. Yeah. But I tell you, be mindful. Do you know what I think oftentimes? As I'm there and I'm in my room, do you know what I think? Or do you know how my mind works? When I'm in my room alone, I see that there are angels with me in their room. Do you know what it means? It means whatever you are watching, the angel with you is doing what? Is watching some. Whatever you are, I don't know what you are watching. I don't know why I'm smiling. I don't know what you are smiling. But whatever you are watching, whatever you are doing, wherever your hand is going, or your, I don't know what you are doing. Whatever it is you are doing in your room, the angel that you have, unless you're not born again, maybe you're a pretender in church. Now when you are free, there's no angel with you, there's a devil with you. So that one there, he's there to encourage you to the evil. Yeah. But whatever you are doing, there's an angel with you. And I always tell myself, hey, the angel is with me in the room. Whatever I'm doing, he's there watching me. He's just watching me and listening to me say, whatever I say, he's there by my side. When we talk about judgment, about the eternity, our life on earth is short. is short. 70 years, 80 years. If you're lucky. Maybe something. I don't say anything less. Amen. This is what God has given us. Hallelujah. Laying on of hands in judgment. That's why the man says in verse 3. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us move on to maturity. Amen. Today I'm just introducing the subject, maturity. And we are going to mature, move on to maturity. We are not going to continue talking about the same things forever. And he repeats, 1 + 1 = 2, 1 + 1 = 2. No, no, no. It's time to do quadratic equations. It's time to do exponential and logarithms. It's time to move into other things. Because that is where it says, better things. Things that accompany salvation. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? Are you here this morning? We are going to get better. We are going to mature. We are going to move forward into maturity. What is maturity? 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, when I was a child, I speak like a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. You know, so it is okay at a certain time of your life. It is okay. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Tell somebody we are putting away childish things.
Hallelujah.
We are going to stop being childish. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. That's what we will continue until we all come to unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to mature. We are going to start a journey of maturity. Amen. And the first sign of maturity, do you know what it is? Somebody who himself comes to God. Tell your neighbor, never come for me again on a Sunday morning. Tell your neighbor, don't pass by to pick me up again. Oh, you're not saying, tell your neighbor, don't pass by. Oh, I can't hear. Tell your neighbor, don't pass by. No, no, I can't hear you speaking. Tell your neighbor, don't pass by to pick me up again. From today, if you are a proper mature Christian, you will come by yourself. A child is the one you hold by the hand and take him to school. A grown up is the one who will take Trotro by himself, go to the VIP station, take Trotro to Kumasi, get down Kumasi, go to Tech Junction, get down on Tech Junction, walk to campus. A grown up will go by himself to where he wants to go. But a child, you hold him by the ear, or you come and grab him and put him under tie and then pull him to church. Tell the boy he's finished. It's finished from today. It's finished from today. That I should be glad. No. No, no, no. Tell it. Why is he? Tell him. And a grown up person, you come late. You come late. Ah. Hey, Prince, are you saying something? No. Tell your neighbor it from today. As for coming. I'm here. As for being on. Emmanuel, I know the one I'm talking to. Yeah, the one I'm talking to. Yes, on time and by myself. Nobody will ever come for you again. Unless you want to tell me you are still a child. They say, I'm a child. Oh, Papa, carry me, I'm a child. Then I'll carry you like David. They will put you on our back. They will take you to church. That one, they will do it. Because children, they are to be carried by their parents. But the day you become a grown-up, you say, I want a car. You cannot come and say, I'm a child again. No, no, no. You want a car. You want things from me. I don't give cars to children to drive. I give it to grown-ups who are mature. Amen. Not a child. Hallelujah. One of my greatest fights is those who need to be brought to church. Prince, Yeah. Those who can't come by themselves, they have to be brought to church. If you don't come, I won't come. You don't come for me, I won't come. Tell somebody you are a stupid fool. You won't come because I didn't come. Then who am I going for? You don't understand judgments. You don't understand resurrection of the dead and judgment. That because I didn't come, hey, we are going for lectures. If you don't go, I won't go. Tell somebody, I cannot know why you are doing the course you are doing. You don't go, I won't go. You should go. Look, even if your friends don't go, say, hey, I know why I came. Many years ago, I was my roommate. I was with him in my room. Then he was, look at me, we're going to write a paper. And he was learning. And I was tired. So I was lying in my bed. And he said, you can afford to fail. I said, what do you mean I can afford to fail? He said, your father can pay to do one more year. He says, me, I can't afford to pay. I have to pass. I can't. He said, no, you, your father can afford. If you repeat one year, no pay anything. You just pass to that. He says, me, my life is calculated. The money is prepared. I can't afford any extra deviation. And no, I can't afford it. So you guys, you call us dad about children, you can afford to fail. When you fail, no pay anything. Your father will pay, and then you go and do extra classes. Eventually, that's what they say, oh, that your mother will pay easily. They go and write again after what? 1 year? Come home and just be home. You keep in company. Then you write again next year, then continue. He says, I can't afford. I have to pass. I have to make it. Tell somebody, who are you going for? Yeah, no. Tell somebody, we are changing. This year is our year of maturity. A year when we are sure that we are proper grown-up Christians. Amen. And we are never going to go back. Emmanuel, you're going to sit there and come and church. Every time you come to church, you sleep small. I see you every time. You sleep small. Every time. There are those who wake up and say, that's what it's ending today. How can you continue like that? You think I won't say? No, you see, because now we must move on. I didn't hear an amen. We must move on. We can't stay. We have been the same for the whole of last year. We're the same. And look at us. How can you see a great improvement in your life? How can you see a big jump in your finances, in your life station? How can you go for it big by being the same? There must be a change. There must be a change. And this is the beginning of that change. Hallelujah. This year, the mature person, that will be you. You are going to mature. I said, you are going to mature. They will see a difference in us. I'm not the person I used to be. When I was younger, I was very, 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 very melancholic and phlegmatic. I mean, I will not talk. I cannot stay the same as you become a pastor. You're a pastor, melancholic, phlegmatic pastor. What kind of church are you going to grow? I said, no, I have to change. They say, well, spirit-led temperament. Yes, that has to be me. If I was melancholic, phlegmatic, do you think I'll be standing here with a microphone? I'll be sitting down there watching who will preach today? Who will preach today? But it's over. It's over. Put your hands together and stand to your feet. We are becoming mature. We are this year. Everybody. And tell somebody, a mature, and only a child, they will ask you, have you done your homework? Only a child, they will ask you, have you done your homework? No, when you are a grown up, your assignment, and you are 17, 18, 19, 21, you are in third year, and they are asking you, have you done your assignment? What kind of person are you? No. It is no longer, look, now, when you don't do your quiet time, and you don't, the whole week, Monday to Friday, you don't read your Bible about four times, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. No, you are trying to show that I'm not mature, but you are going to mature. Amen. We are going to mature. I said we are going to mature. We are going to become people who do all our things by ourselves. God will help us. Put your hands together. This morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message,
please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.